You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew today, chapter 23, verses 34-39. Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and prosecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, it's getting cooler, and we're seeing some changes with the bird population at our place. I don't know about where you are. We've gotten a lot more of these cardinals coming in, so I've got some nice sunflower seed ready for them, and they're pecking them and going to town on it and making their nice song. And I've noticed something about cardinals, that they love to go to a high point. They'll find a high point on a tree, and they'll just sing there for ages. And if you can make a little bit of noise with the seed when you go to put the seed in the feeder, ping, he comes down. He comes down. I should tell you a story. When I was a kid, I had my mother was driving home one day. I think she was shopping. She had a Holden station wagon. A Holden is an Australian car. And as she drove home, there was a pigeon. Now, I don't know if you know much about pigeons, but there are certain pigeons that we call tumblers. And as they fly, they tumble. And if they do this pretty low altitude, they lose control. And they can even smash into the ground or whatever. But anyway, this one did a little tumble and whacked into the windscreen of my mother's car. And she stopped and picked it up. It was still alive. But it had a damaged wing. So she brought it home and gave it to me. So I took it and I deposited it on the top of my bed, where there's a sort of a sill next to my bed, and I put the bird there, and I every day I'd be feeding it and making sure it had water. It couldn't fly, it had this broken wing, but finally the wing just by itself, it just sort of healed up and came right, the bones mended and it came right. And then the time came to just let it go. Well, I was ignorant about pigeons, so I didn't know much about pigeons, but all I knew was I made a pet out of this thing, and so I just, okay, I called him Billy, and male or female, I don't know, I called it Billy, and let it go. And it, like this, and then it came back. And so I had a pet, and so what happened was, I used to go to school, and we had sort of the back of our place, we had this area which was an open reserve, a beautiful place for kids to play, you know, and they all used to go in there with their bikes and stuff. And on the other end of the field was an entrance way from the school. So the school and where I used to go to, I come that way back home, and I come at the far end of the field, and our house was at the other end. And I come at the end, and I used to take with me every day a bag of wheat. And when I get to that end there, I just get that bag out, and it heard it. This bird would hear it from way out there. It's quite a distance on the other side of the reserve, and it would fly. And the pigeons, whenever they take off, of course, they would slap their wings. You could hear them flap, 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 as they clap their wings together like that. And I could see it coming, and it would land right here and feed. And it became quite a close pet to me. And it was there all the time. It would always stay on top of my bed, and it would make this funny sound, as it, you know, all this kind of weird sort of sounds that the pigeons make. And so we had this kind of close relationship, and it would always do this. It was always there, and my dad made this really neat house for it on the end of a big long metal pole right up the top there. And finally, it migrated out of my bedroom and would go to this place on a little house on a pole, which is really cool. But yeah, animals are amazing, aren't they? All these birds and things, they are tremendous. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, Lord, and all that Thou hast given us. We ask You to bless this service and help our minds to understand and gain all that Thou hast for us in the Scriptures. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, last time we were looking at a lot of neat things in chapter 21. This business of the sin offering, I think, is really a cool point to this. The idea here that people had this high look, proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. It's not talking about is a sinful thing, well, that's true, but it's talking about the fact that it is to them a sin offering. That's how they're going to come to God. And with this arrogance in their work, they think they're going to come to God on this basis. It's a very interesting thing. And he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Isn't that true in general? You can see a deeper picture of how when we seek the Lord God, finally we have imputed righteousness to us. Now, today what I'm going to do is I want to move further into Proverbs. And the Bible Project, it has a lot of tremendous charts, which I've borrowed one here from Proverbs. And it's really good because you get a quick graphical summary. And I just love art in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I just love it. And I've got this little app on my iPad called Procreate. And it's basically an app where you can draw colorful pictures. And actually, it's got so many little tools in it. You can mimic actual painting. It looks really just like real painting. And so I'm practicing with that. And so when I look at some of the tremendous artwork here, I'm amazed at it, at how good these artists truly are. And they, you can use these skills and showing how, you know, Solomon certainly had these wonderful gifts of knowledge and being able to talk about the little insects and how to grow things and all kinds of botanical stuff. And he was also good with writing sonnets and all sorts of music. And people would come around. I mean, that, his wisdom was well known. And one of the things you learn about this by understanding the idea of wisdom is that when someone is wise, it doesn't mean to say that they are universally wise. A human being that is wise is not universally wise. They're not going to be wise in every single facet of their life. It just doesn't happen. Solomon is a perfect example of this. While he did have some areas of wisdom, no, he was not universally wise. And you can see this happening. And when you come right, we're actually in this section here, 10 to 29, and you'll notice that we're in the chapter we've got here, 22:6, talking about, you know, how you should raise your children. That's one of the famous verses in here. But if you go further on, you'll see here this Agur, who is like a representative reader. And I think, I don't know about you, but when I come to Proverbs, I'm a bit like Agur. I see myself as being not wise. You know, I see all my failings. But when I see my failings, I can also see, yeah, but I can improve. I really can improve. And I think it's a wrong thing for us to point our finger at someone and say, oh, I remember this person, that's what that person was like, and therefore that's how this person is now. Now, that's not right. That's not right. We have the chance in this life to grow as Christian people. And we need to allow that people, regardless of their station that they were at in past, that they can grow. Okay, well, that's cool. That's a really neat chart. That. So we're in Proverbs in chapter 22. So I want us to have a look at this. This is really something that really took a hold of me as I was reading this. So this is Proverbs 22, a good name. Wow, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. And I think one thing we can look at ourselves, you know, we really need to protect our name. And when I say protect our name, I don't mean that we need to answer people around who are making accusation against us. I think you should. But I'm really thinking of what we do in our lives, the choices we make. Protect your name, right? Protect it. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Boy, doesn't that speak to you about many who gain riches as a family? You know, you're involved with a family and you have riches. What that family really needs is this loving favor, first of all, right? That's what they need. They need to see that. And many children who are raised spoiled, rotten with riches, the riches of this world, they miss out on that most basic love that they need for nurture from their parents. They don't get it. They get other things, but they don't get that which they really need. Now, I'm going to read a bit more about this. Those verses, those first three verses are really cool, and I'll come back to that. But you think about the name, right? The name. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Man, that's all encompassing. That shows you the place of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, what we want to see from our scriptures is consistency concerning the name of Jesus in all sorts of ways. His holiness, his love for mankind, etc. We want to see these things. If you go across with me to Matthew 23, I just want to show you this. Like I've mostly done through this series, we don't go outside of Proverbs much, but I felt like I just needed to show you this and show you the importance of the scriptures, and specifically the King James, right? The King James, why it is the translation that we are reading from typically. So this is Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, this is the Lord Jesus, and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill, and crucify. It's interesting that the killing here comes right down to crucifixion as well, which was typically the pagan method of killing people. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues. So it's interesting that when need be, these people who reject him will certainly kill his followers, but they're quite prepared to employ others to do the job, because crucifixion was the means of killing people that the Romans held to, right? And they would be quite prepared to use others to do their dirty work and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. You notice it's very specific to the nation of Israel here and what they did. And we know, by the way, that if God had chosen some other nation, they would do the same thing. It's not like we're reading this and think, ooh, those Jews. No, we understand. We understand that they are like a representative nation in this regard. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now look at this. This is the part. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Now, I want you to look at the pronouns here. Thee and thy. It says, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now, here's the point. Let's just get the point here, the point that I want to make. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ was showing that people that he would have gathered decided through their own will that they would not come. That's the first point. And that means that there was a will that the Lord had for people, and yet he allowed that they would express their will and say no. Look at it again. It says, how often would I have gathered thy children together? How often would I? Even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings. I can see in my mind's eye this. I'm sure you've seen this happen with chickens. And by the way, those hens could get mighty protective, like just about any female will with its young. And that means bears, that means lions, that means all the animals, including human beings, right? They will protect. And I can remember having some sore experience of a hen doing that to me. I just wanted to, you know, borrow one of those little chicks. Flap. Good slap down, boy. And it says, even as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Okay, let's just nail this. Let's nail this down. Jean Galadine. Two of the tulip ideas come up here. Limited atonement. According to Calvinists, Jesus did not die for everyone. The atonement that he made was only for the elect. There was some sort of unconditional election. And along with this is this irresistible grace and all these other doctrines. They all tie together with total depravity and all these things sort of tie together, these doctrines. Now, if you look at verse 37, I'm not saying all Calvinists do this, so don't get me wrong. There are Calvinists who take this passage, and what they do with it is this. They say, oh no, what's meant here is that there are two parties. One is Jerusalem, and the other is the children. And the two are not the same. And that when it says here, how often would I have gathered thee, it's only talking about Jerusalem. And not all the children. But I want you to see something that's going on here. And by the way, that's not even logically correct. You can poke holes in that, because Jerusalem is just metonymy for the group. It's just a name that's standing for the group of people. But carry on. And it says here, how often would I have gathered thy children together? And then skip past the hen. And ye would not. Look at the pronoun. Ye. Ye is plural. It means the children. You see? And ye would not. I wanted the children to come to me, and they would not come. They resisted my desire. I willed that they would come, and they would not come. You see, the pronouns of the King James Bible make it abundantly clear, very clear. Now, so if you don't follow the King James and you go to the Greek, here you have it. That's ye. And ye would not. Ook. Ye would not. It's there, my friends. So whether you want to argue against the King James or you want to go to the Greek, I'm afraid the truth is there. That the Lord Jesus wanted certain people to come to him and they would not come. Right? That's his will. Looks like his will is resistible. Right? It's resistible, as we know, right? Because we have a free will. That is, the origin of our choices, the origin of our choices is ourself. That's the origin. It's from ourself. We can make this choice. We bear the somewhat of the image of God. That's how we're very different from the animals. So I've sort of labeled all the pronouns, and you can see the singulars going back to Jerusalem, but we know that that is just a figure of speech for the crowd. And then the ye there, you can see the plural. Ye would not. Very important to see. Now in Proverbs 22, let's just go back there. So I think this is an important issue about the King James Bible, right? These are good reasons why, simple reasons. Just the pronouns alone would be good reason for you to look at the King James to get things sorted here. But let's go back to Proverbs 22, and it says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And you know, that brings me back to something. That brings me back to something very important for Americans to understand. And how that much of the wisdom of the scriptures you can find in the two great documents, founding documents of this country, this one here, this document here, the Declaration of Independence. Wonderful document. But just look at how it goes here. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate, now look, here it comes, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature. Well, what do you see in the laws of nature? We talked about birds, right? We talk about the animals. The animals. A lion is a lion. It gives birth to a lion. A chicken is a chicken. It gives birth to chickens. And they do not relate to us in the same way that a human will relate to us. We are human beings. That's the primary focus of nature. Nature teaches that there are all these different kinds and we were made after the image of God. And we are humans. It doesn't matter whether some person that calls himself a king gets down from his great golden carriage and says, "Bow to me." It doesn't matter what he says, I'm afraid nature and nature's God tells me, sorry, mister, you're a human being just like me. Right? That's nature tells you that. But further to that is that we get nature's God specifically laying this out right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. Right? Right here we have a Genesis for this country. And right in that Genesis for this country, we have a recognition of number one, logic of what we see in nature, and the God that created it all. Right at the very beginning. And it says, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Yeah, we're going to separate ourselves from some monarch that tries to order us around and tell us and tries to say, you've got to bow down to me because you see, everyone has bowed down to my family and before them their family. Sorry, mate, but we have only one God and one King, right? And you ain't it. He doesn't like that. We wouldn't like that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, yes, equal. Equal, mister. I know some Americans seem to want to bow down to monarchy these days. I don't know why they do that. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's these things that have drawn millions of people to this country, because it's only been in this country where this has been enshrined. God-given things enshrined into a document. It says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Don't we all want that? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers, listen to this, from the consent of the governed. The consent comes from the people. We are the king. Mister! Boy, there's some politicians, they need to reread this, don't you think? Because they seem to think that they are going to be our king. And all of a sudden, we've got to do what they tell us to do. Sorry, you've got to do what we tell you to do. You know, it's... Wow. I mean, this is preaching here, isn't it? You just preach this thing through. Going on to chapter 22 of Proverbs. The rich and poor meet together. Yep. Those on high station. Yep. Those that are lowly station. Yep, they meet together, friends. And they might not like that fact, but the Lord is the maker of them all. Get that? Beautiful, man. Beautiful. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You see, the prudent man, the person who is circumspect and respects wisdom, foreseeth the evil. Oh man, isn't that true? And if you can see stuff coming, you can plan. You can plan well. You can hide. You can get into a position of advantage. But the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. Humility. You see, when you present the gospel to someone, there comes a place and a time for them to make a decision. And they will, in many cases, rear up with their arrogance and will not respect the fear of the Lord, and they will not humble themselves and accept the truth of the gospel. And that's going to be to their detriment. Riches and honor and life. Riches, yeah. Our inheritance is coming, man. We have an inheritance. The true riches are ours. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Yeah, good. Separate yourself from those like that. And here we got the famous passage. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's a general principle, right, that by which you should aim to live by. Does it mean that every case people are going to turn out this way? No, but this is a general principle that you can hold to. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Very practical, isn't it? And that's generally what happens. And so this is a good verse to think about when you are looking to get yourself into some sort of contract or agreement, because whether you have to and you do it or not, this is true. The borrower is servant to the lender. Better make sure that any contract you get into, you check the so-called small print. We, Sevi and I, we used to laugh because we used to listen to the radio when we drop off Reuben and travel along the Sooner Drive back to OU, and we listen to some of these radio stations, and they'd have ads. Have you heard all the fine print, how they speak when they get to the fine print? It's so funny, you know. Like it's just a little technicality, it's a little legality they've got to do. No one can hear it, but they've done it, right? They've done it. Yeah. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. The rod of his anger. Boy, the sowing of iniquity shall reap vanity. We're seeing it in this country, unfortunately. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. There's something to look at, right? The Salvation Army under Booth, I think they had a lot of good ideas. Unfortunately, they've gone off in other areas where they shouldn't go. But the principal idea of looking after people who are in need, there's nothing wrong with that. And when Booth began his preaching in London, there were people who just disappeared, man, because in the back door would come someone of lowly pursuit. Someone who was a beggar, someone who didn't have anything. Oh, what's this person doing in our congregation? And a lot of people just left. Right? They couldn't handle that. And Booth, in his love, and his wife, with love, looked out to the community and decided to try and help them. Good on them. I think that's a great thing. I've always thought, you know, what a wonderful thing it could be if we Christians could just do this, right? No child goes to bed hungry. No one. No in the whole world. Make that our goal. And in doing so, bring the gospel. You think about how wonderful it is to come with the bread that fills the carnal body and at the same time bring them the bread of life. Isn't that a great combination? Or people who are physicians in the same context, bringing them healing ministry, right? That context. Combine these things together. What a big effect it could be. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Cast out the scorner. Sometimes we put up with too much nonsense, don't we? And contention shall go out. You cannot have a church function with contention all the time. You just cannot, it will not happen. You will just destroy it. I can remember a church that was in our local town back in New Zealand. And it seemed like every 4 years it would go through a split. And in between splits, there was this process of building up reasons to have a split. You know what I'm saying? It was like their main job to come to church was, okay, now what can we split on next? Maybe the color of the carpet. You know what I'm saying? And that's all they did. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Well, that's a righteous king. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. And that's certainly true and will be true. A lot of these things have practical import now, but they're also looking to the future when there will be this judgment made and things will be made right. Well, I'm going to get you guys to read the rest because I'm out of time. But I think you can see that this chapter is a beauty. It starts with such a good implication about your name, God's name, the Word of God. I thank God that He has shown us so many great truths, not only from the Bible, but about the Bible, too. We all need to know this. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this message, Lord. We ask You'd put it to our hearts, that it would sink down to our feet, and that we'd walk the truths of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.